I would like to start with just a small look at God's power so we understand who He is. And we're going to move on to His love, believe me. But His power. In the book of Genesis, it talks about how God created, how He made the created the animals. Read the story in Genesis chapter 1. And at one point on the fourth day, it said that He made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And then it says something else. It just astounds me, almost as an afterthought to Him creating the sun and the moon to rule the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. It says that He made the stars also. Just kind of like, that was nothing to Him. He made the stars also. And for many years, people tried to count the stars. And as technology increased and we developed telescopes and et cetera, there are numberless stars. So I just picture God in His power, in His creative power. He just took His fingers. This is just my picture of what God did. He took His fingers and He just went, poof. And there go all those billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. And the Word of God saw God as He inspired prophets to write the Scriptures. He chose to put in, and He made the stars also. Now, keep that concept in your mind of God taking His fingers and flicking them, and boom, there go the stars. Because it's going to come in play more as we look at Psalms 139 this morning. That power, that number, is going to come back into play again. I'm going to be concentrating on Psalms 139 this morning, but as I was sitting here this morning, I felt the desire to read a few words from Psalms 103. Now, we took a brief look at God's power, stars. Psalms 103, I'm going to read some verses that God impressed on me as I was sitting here this morning. This has to do with His love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Just let it soak in. Just listen. That's all you have to do. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His love to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And God could write that based on what He knew Jesus was going to do as He forgave our sins. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. If God would treat us as our sins deserve, I would take a seat right there and shut up. Because I would not be qualified to say anything. No, He does not treat us according to as our sins deserve. No. His love totally overpowers those sins as we ask Him for forgiveness. It says here, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Gone. And then, We are free. We are free to honor Him. We are free to praise Him, despite what we've done. When we're forgiven, we're free to be used by Him. We're free to reach out to other people and show love and compassion to them. There's nothing binding us. And that's what overwhelms me about God's love. It frees us so that there's nothing binding us. And so many of us, and I've done this too much in my own life. I'm bound. It's like I can't do anything because of my sins. That's not the God that I know now. He's really shown me that, relax. The fetters are gone. The binding is gone. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He frees us to serve Him, to be His children, and to relate to Him as children. Psalms 139. Let's move on. I kind of divided this psalm into several sections, five sections. Verses 1 to 5 first. And I titled this section, I titled this little section 1 to 5, I titled it, "You Know Me, You Know Me." O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word was on my tongue, You knew it completely. O Lord, You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Now, let me ask a question here. Does my wife know me that well? That she knows what I'm going to say before I say it? That she knows where I'm going to go and when I'm going to go and when I'm going to sit down and when I'm going to get up? Does she know from a distance what I'm thinking? God knows all this stuff about you, husbands and wives, children, even your closest human relations. They don't know you like God knows you, because God sees not as mankind sees. God sees the heart. So He knows what we're going to say. He knows what's in our heart. And typically what's in our heart comes out our mouth. Eventually it comes out. Oh, He knows us. Wow. And He knows us, and I love verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. Hemming in, that's like all around. You're wrapped. You're wrapped up. You hem me in behind and before. And then I love that next phrase. You hem me in behind and before, and You have laid Your hand upon me. Now, as God, it says that God lays His hand on us. And as He lays His hand on us, now, don't forget, He knows everything about you. Everything. He knows who you got in a fight with in fourth grade. He knows who you kicked in fifth grade. He knows the lies you told when you were in sixth grade. He knew about that cheating in eighth grade. He through your life. And He knew everything about you, and yet it says He put His hand on you. And I was just praying and preparing for the message, and what was that hand? And God just said, it's the hand that you've been telling people about in counseling. As I meet with people, talk with them. It's the hand of compassion. It's compassion. Because remember, he knows everything about us, and yet he doesn't treat us like our iniquities deserve. It's compassion. Love, compassion. He's saying, I know all about you, but I like you. You're okay. Come, let's talk. That's what he's saying. And the compassion of, I'm going to protect you from your enemies. I'm going to protect you from Satan. I'm here. Just call on me. Wow. He knows us. And he's laid his hand of compassion on us. Okay, let's move on. 7 to 10. Oh, I forgot about verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain or understand. Yeah, in some ways it is. Just believe it. Just believe it. That God's hand of compassion is on you despite him knowing everything about you. Verse 7. I titled this section, The Hand of Guidance. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, feeling pretty low, huh? You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I'm happy and I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And this is the thing that I'm getting this morning from this psalm. Excuse me. God just doesn't just want his hand, the hand of compassion on us. Compassion gets, you know, it gets a little old. You want a little more than compassion. God, more. I know you love me. I know you care about me. And I know this, and I'm starting to feel it, your compassion, your love. But come on, I have a life to live. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So as God deals with us and helps us and loves on us, it's not just the hand of compassion. Thank God for the hand of compassion and acceptance that he gives us. But it's also a hand of guidance. He wants to show us how to live. He wants to show us each step. We have questions and we don't know what to do. He wants to give us the hand of guidance. Even there, wherever we are, as it says there in Psalms 139, I still want to guide you. I want to show you things. I want to talk with you. Verse 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. This takes a little digging. We've got a lot of darkness and lights here, kind of intermingled here. But let's break this down. If I say, Surely the darkness will hide me. Have you ever felt like that? Felt like, I just want to go away in a dark place. I just want to go where nobody sees me. I just want to get away and just be by myself and want nobody to see me. There's probably times that we feel like that. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, you've pretty tough situation there. Verse 12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You know what that's saying to me? That's saying to me that when we are the most down, we are the most frustrated, we are the most everything, the light becomes night around me. It's like everything that I try, everything just depressing and dark, and everything I try is just a failure, and it's just dark, dark, dark. I've felt like that. Especially about 6:30 in the morning when I have to get up and go to work. Everything just seems kind of, You got to shake yourself, get yourself going, and come on, get going. But that darkness that we're feeling, to God, it's as light to you. And if that darkness is like light to God, then start talking to Him. Start talking to God. And your darkness will turn to light. Darkness is as light to Him. Connect with Him. Talk to Him. He wants you to. And you'll find that darkness becoming light. Verse 13. Let's go 13 to 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me are written, and you were written in your book before one of them came to be. What is your inmost being? You created my inmost being. And I was just thinking about those words a little bit. Our inmost being, that's the part that wants to live. That's the part that loves. That's the part that receives love. That's the part of us that has compassion. That's the part of us that receives compassion when we need it. That's the part of us that communicates with our Maker. And that's the part of us that communicates with people around us. That's our inmost being. And God created that. He knits you together. He knows you. I've been working with people a lot, and a lot of people have pretty low self-worth. Like, I'm not worth anything. There's not much I can do. I'm just not. I'm no good. In fact, I'm sort of worthless. But listen to what God says about you. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You saw my development. And I wrote your name in a book. And I have plans for you. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. God cares about you. He's cared about you from day one. And he has a purpose. He has purpose and meaning for your life. Okay, so if my life has purpose and meaning, where do I find it? How do I find it? A lot of people would be asking that very question. How do I find it? Okay, yes, I can accept I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I can accept that you created my inmost being. I can accept all that. But how do I find purpose and meaning? Verses 17 and 18. God speaking. God speaking to us. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. How precious are your thoughts? And I did a little research on that verse. And some of the translations leave out a very important word. How precious are your thoughts concerning me? Your thoughts about me. Not all translations have that. But when God is thinking thoughts specifically about you. He's thinking thoughts specifically about you that outnumber the sand on the seashore. How precious are your thoughts to me? How precious are your thoughts concerning me? About me? Remember at the beginning of my talk here, I talked about God doing like this and stars go out there? Billions and billions and billions of stars. And if we do the same thing, we think about God's thoughts concerning us, about us, as individuals. Think about it. God having billions and billions and billions like grain of sand on the seashore. Thoughts about me, concerning me, him thinking about me as one of his children. And at the same time, he's looking down on Paul, and billions and billions and billions like a sand on the seashore of thoughts concerning Paul. Concerning Austin and Sean. He's thinking about those young men. He's thinking about the young people back there individually. Thoughts. Now, if God is thinking all those thoughts concerning us as people, as his children, don't you think that he wants to share some of them with us? I think he longs to share some of his thoughts, some of those billions and billions of thoughts toward us. He wants to share them with us. Let him do it. So how does God share his thoughts with us? He shared a lot of them here in Psalms 139 about him knowing us, about him watching while we were being our development. And he's sharing those thoughts in Psalms 139. But there's specific things about your life. And when you have problems and situations, God has thoughts about those problems, situations you're facing. If you have low self-worth, God is thinking the opposite thoughts toward you. I created you. I made you for a purpose. I want you. I love you. I need you to work in my kingdom. I want to spend eternity with you. All kinds of thoughts that God is thinking toward concerning you. Precious thoughts that. So how do we connect with God? How do we connect with God so that he's able to share those thoughts with us? I just want to point out a couple of ways quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. This is one way he shares his thoughts with us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. In the Old Testament, God was sharing his thoughts, sharing everything through the prophets. In various ways and times, he was doing that. But in these last days, after the coming of Jesus, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So who was that doing this with the stars? Appointed him, Jesus. He's spoken to us through his Son, through whom he made the universe. So God's creation week, he's there saying, Jesus, flick those fingers. Let's do those stars also. Jesus was the member of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who was the creative force. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's what happened to your sins. The ones that have you bogged down, to have you wrapped up, that you're still struggling with. He provided purification for those sins. They're gone. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, having completed that work. I don't want anyone to leave here with a sense of low self-worth. Because when God forgives you, when he restores you, he does it right. So one way that all those thoughts from Psalms 139, all those billions of thoughts that God has concerning you, one way to connect with those thoughts is through Jesus. Jesus, would you share your thoughts concerning this problem I have at work? Jesus, would you share your thoughts with me concerning some problems I'm having in my home? Jesus, would you share your thoughts with me concerning my weakness, my areas of failure that I can't get over? Would you share your thoughts and give me some tips? What I need to be doing, what I need to change. Talk to him. Now, I can't promise you'll hear an audible voice like this, Willis, I want you to do this. I can't promise that. But he will speak through his word. You'll get an impression in your heart. You'll have a dream, a vision, or someone will say something that's, boom, it pegs in your heart, and that's it. That's what I need to do. He speaks through people. He speaks through his word. He speaks through dreams and visions. And I wouldn't rule out an audible voice, because he has done that through history, and he still does. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to share with you. He wants to put his arms around you and say, have you asked my forgiveness? And if you say yes, and he says, okay, let's get on the road to victory. He wants to share tips with you. He wants to share his thoughts. And so often, we just kind of block him off. Like, I got a life to live. I ain't got time for this. You don't have time not to. You don't have time not to. Yeah, we all have a life to live. But let's make time in our life for Jesus, to spend time with him, to get to know him, to hear his voice, to feel his compassion, to allow him to put his hand on our shoulder and guide us. I'd like to wrap up with a little story. Somebody I can identify with. You know, I like to tell stories about people you can identify with. I identify with that little guy in the Bible. Not Bildad the Shuhite, not him. I identify with Zacchaeus. The little guy. God knew all about him. God even knew he was a tax collector, Jesus, during Jesus' earthly ministry. And he tended to do something that made him very rich. He tended to tack on a little extra to the tax bill that he was in charge of collecting. That way he could pad his pocket a little bit. And Jesus knew that. We saw in 139, he knows everything about all of us. So he knew Zacchaeus was padding his pocket a little bit. And he knew Zacchaeus didn't have many friends. Because if you pad your pocket with someone else's money, you're not going to have too many friends. Especially when you take their money. So he knew he was friendless. He was a thief. And he heard about Jesus. Somehow he heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see this Jesus that was loving people, caring for people, helping them with their problems, teaching them all the things that he still does. And Zacchaeus was little, and the crowd was big, tall people. I can identify. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so bad, so he runs out and climbs up the sycamore tree down the trail where he knew Jesus was coming. And Jesus did for Zacchaeus what he wants to do for each one of us. Even if we're thieves, even if we still have problems that we're fighting, sin issues that we're still dealing with, Jesus wants to do for you exactly what he did for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, as Jesus came by the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus was up there. And Jesus said, come down. Come down. I must come to your house today. I want to come to your house and spend some time with you. Imagine how that made Zacchaeus feel. He had no friends. He was guilty. And little Zacchaeus, I just admire him. I don't have the passage right here, but he said, I'm going to repay anybody that I've cheated. I'm going to repay. I forget how many times. I should look that up. I'm going to look that up. That's important enough. Luke 19. He told him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what is that which was lost? I start with myself. That which was lost, I just go down. All of us. All of us were lost. All of us were sinners. The worship team can come up and have a closing song. I identify with Zacchaeus. Maybe there's somebody else in the Word you identify with. But I want you to know Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit wants to communicate to you. God the Father wants to make you feel like a child, an actual child, a family member. That's what God the Father's heart is. And as the worship team leads us in a closing song, I want you to think about how God views you. He views you as precious. He views you as forgiven. If you've asked Him for forgiveness, if you haven't, quickly ask Him for forgiveness. And He will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west when you acknowledge it. And then He wants to fold you in His arms and say, put His hand of compassion on you. Put His hand of guidance on you. And He wants to show you how to live. He really, really wants to do that. And He's thinking billions and billions of thoughts concerning you. Ask Him. Have a desire for Him to share those thoughts with you. And He'll do it. So as we sing, I just invite you to come forward if you want to come talk to God. You want to express to God your need for forgiveness. You want to express to God that you want to hear from Him, that you want to communicate. You want to know some of those thoughts that He's thinking concerning you. You can do that in your seats, yes. If you want to come forward, that's fine as well. Jesus loves you. He wants you. He desires you. And He died for you. Herein is the love of God. Not that we love God, but He loved us and gave His Son to be the forgiveness of our sins. Not that we love God, but He loved us. Let Him speak to you as the team worships.